Okay. Good afternoon. This is Wilps. This is Wilps after Wednesday afternoon, all the news you need to know show, Wilf being the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. Mm-hmm. And we have one of our favorite people with us today for as a guest, one of our dear favorite people, CJ Suet.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here.
We're happy to have you here. I think I first saw you, CJ, at a program at St. Joseph's Church a year or two ago when people were protesting Greenbridge.
Yeah.
And you got up and did a poem, which I hope maybe, I didn't ask you in advance, but if you could do it tonight at some point.
For sure, for sure.
But I was just so blown away. And so then I've seen you some other times, you know, the memorial service that the Peace Coalition has each May. Mm-hmm. And every time I see you, and then you came to the community church this summer for our Australia series, and everybody...
Great time. I enjoyed that so much.
Yeah,
enjoyed that so much.
Loved having you. So, CJ, you are a man of many parts, and so part... Today, I would love to hear some of your poetry, but also, I don't know as much as I'd like to know about you, and I think our listeners, I know you work with young people,
mm-hmm.
and so I don't know, where should we start? Start about what inspired you and got you started, or?
I've been writing, I'd say, when I just turned 24, probably for the past about 10 years. And just writing poetry in different forms. Really writing for longer than that. I grew up in Southern Pentecostal church around here, singing in a church choir. And that was the first encounter I had with performance, is singing in the church choir. And it's real lively. It's real, like, you know, people clapping, people jumping all over the place. It's beautiful. And a wonderful church around here called... St. John's Holiness Church is out on Pine Acre Drive, out 54. And most of that church was like my family members. And I was related to most of the folks in the church. And then I grew up and I started getting interested in girls. And when I was growing up, I spent a lot of time in the car with my dad. He would be playing Luther Vandross all the time. So in middle school, I started liking girls. So I started writing like love songs and ballads and like all the time. And then in ninth grade, high school, I started writing rhymes and started writing hip hop. And then from there, you know, I found poetry, and then poetry just really provided really the umbrella for everything I had been doing before, and understanding that all of what I had been doing was poetry in itself. And the freedom within poetry is what really attached me, like really drew me to the art form in itself. And ever since then, ever since for the past, I would say like 10 years, I've been doing poetry pretty steadily and doing hip hop from time to time. I'm releasing an album, a mixtape this week. Tomorrow it will be available for a free download online. Until next Wednesday, or next Thursday, rather, and for free until next Thursday. And then after that, it'll be like $3 or something small. What's most important to me is that people get it and not necessarily the money part of it. I just want people to listen to it. So I've been doing music and poetry. And then Sacrificial Poets is something that has come to me. I'm the executive director of the Sacrificial Poets, which is a youth poetry organization, for those who don't know.
I was just going to ask
you.
Tell us what it actually is. Okay, no, it's for you. Is it nationwide? Is it local?
So it started because I wanted to take a group of kids to competition. International competition. An international competition that I had been blessed to go to in high school through my English teacher, Michael Irwin, who is still an English teacher at Chapel Hill High School. Amazing, amazing guy. I feel like he goes through a lot at the high school just because he has such an alternative approach to education, an alternative approach to, like, educating students and really teaching them about themselves
while
teaching the curriculum. And he's still there.
One of our unsung heroes. Maybe we should get him on something.
Definitely.
Michael Irwin.
Amazing guy. And I can honestly tell you that if it hadn't been for him, I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now. And I don't say that enough. I don't say that often enough. So if you're listening, know that even if I don't say it, I'm thinking it and I'm feeling it all the time. Uh-huh. And so he took me to competition in San Francisco, California. And from that,
a poetry competition,
a competition called Brave New Voices, put on by a nonprofit out in the Bay Area, San Francisco, called Youth Speaks. Brave New Voices just aired on HBO for the second time, and we were on that. You can see some of our students, some of our youth, and maybe even myself. I haven't seen it yet to know, but people have been telling me that we're on it.
On HBO?
On this HBO show, and there were a couple of our students featured on the first time around when they did it from the 2008 competition, which was the first year I took students to this competition.
Okay.
So the first year that
this is in San Francisco.
Yeah, this is. So the first year I took kids that they filmed, HBO filmed it. It was in Washington, D.C. The first year I went as a student, as a poet, as a youth, it was in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been doing this competition for almost 15 years this year coming up. And so after taking a team, I realized it could not be sustainable. I couldn't sustain it as just like, I want to take kids to competition every year. They need this. They need to see other youth sharing their voices. I just couldn't do it. Like, people are not going to necessarily support you fully if that's all. And so what really was the move I needed to make was to move to nonprofit status, and we're doing nonprofit work. And people have been telling me over and over, you're doing nonprofit work, why don't you have a nonprofit, you know? And through our folks in Durham at the Haytai Heritage Center, the St. Joseph's Historic Foundation, mm-hmm. They've given us fiscal sponsorship. We have a fiscal sponsorship through them.
Yeah.
And it's been a really amazing ride and journey since then. And, you know, Sacrificial Poets has sort of been a vision that I've seen come to fruition. I dropped out of college 3 years ago in order to start this organization.
Where were you going to college?
I was going to UNC Pembroke.
UNC Pembroke. And you dropped out to give more energy and time to this. So the Sacrificial Poets is just your organization. That's not a nationwide thing. This is what you've started here. This is what you're building.
Right. So the Sacrificial Poets is an organization here that I've started because it's a need that I recognize that it's not here. Kids don't, there's not enough self-expression. There's not, mm-hmm. and you know, student government is only going to allow them to do so much. And so I really, there's a need for them to have that unfiltered, yes, like, tell me about you. You know, it like that's the first question. Like, when they come into the room or when a poet sits down with me, like, I want to hear you in the poem. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to know who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. And I think as a high school student, that's something I always wanted people to ask me. You know, it's just like, ask me about me, not yeah. about, you know, I love, you know, school is great. And I love, you know, we're not down in school at all. Go get your education. But I want to, like, I don't think anybody ask me anything outside of what classes I was taking mm-hmm. or what college I was going to go to mm-hmm. or, like, you know, are your grades right? Like, mm-hmm. The real question for me that I wanted people to ask me is, like, how am I? Like, I as a person, that sort of sense of value that high school students are searching for. Mm-hmm. And it's right there in the spoken word. It's right there in poetry. And I'm just glad we're able to provide that.
Yeah. So this is sort of just slowly evolved
mm-hmm.
out of you going to that conference and then loving it so much and wanting other kids to share that experience and see what it's like. And then how are you going to support this? Mm-hmm. So do you get grants, or how do you support yourself and your Sacrificial Poets?
So It's been really difficult. Mm-hmm. So for the first couple of years, things are great now. Things have gotten a whole lot better. But and better is a relative term even in itself. But when we first started out, a lot of it was out of pocket. You know, I've spent a lot of zeros attached to, you know, how much money has been invested in it. But I think, like, overall, it's so rewarding. Like, mm-hmm. I can't. It's immeasurable. Like, mm-hmm. if we're talking about money, like, it's no comparison to the amount of, like, rewards and the lives that have been touched. My life that's been touched through these kids' art and them sharing their stories, them sharing, like, their life experiences. It's just been, it's totally been rewarding. We just got a grant to do an after-school program in Durham through the St. Joseph's Historic Foundation, $20,000 grant to do an after-school program, which has been our biggest grant so far. We do a lot of fundraisers. We usually try to pass a hat at the open mics that we do. We also host slams. We're a performance group in a lot of ways. We also have a performance part of it. So a lot of some of those shows are paid shows as well. So this is revenue that comes in through different ways. Not at the level that we would like it to. A lot of our staff, a lot of people that work for Sacrificial Poets aren't paid staff. People are just doing this out of the kindness of their heart. And it's passion work, as they say. Mm-hmm. We really like to get to a point where we have paid staff people. Mm-hmm. We'd like to do some more staff development stuff. So if there are people listening out there that would love to, you know, scholarship us some staff development, we'd love that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, volunteers are wonderful. Of course, WILP, you know, we're a volunteer organization nationally. There's some paid staff, but locally we're doing our passion work, you know. But the thing with volunteers, I mean, is that they can always say, gee, I'm tired today, or, you know, it's not as stable when you're trying to get an organization and build it. It would be wonderful but it sounds like you're on a building process with it.
It's great. It's so awesome. I had an opportunity to, I just got back from Oakland, California, Napa, California, San Francisco, California, that whole Bay Area, working with a program called the Mosaic Project, who does really, really good work, diversity work with fourth and fifth grade students out on a piece of land in the mountains of Napa, California, which is just working with them and being around them has been something that just really been eye-opening to me. Like, administratively, they're like a $600,000 nonprofit in the Bay and do great, amazing, beautiful work with students, which is really like, it's like they're proof that you don't have to compromise in order to be a sustainable organization. Mm-hmm. Like, I think people feel like a lot of times you have to compromise in order to make, it's like, make money or do real work, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not something that's as black and white as that. We can do both. We live in a, you know, the opportunity is there for us to do both. This can be, you know, economically sound as well as, you know, something that is real to people, real to all sorts of kids across town, real to us as adults, and edifying to both people, both groups, all social groups of people.
Well, I hear you talking about your own personal journey, and it seems like, you know, it starts out with that support from Michael Irwin and loving words and starting out with love poems and hip hop, getting into a broader umbrella of poetry. But it looks like now, as your journey progresses, you're having to learn to be an administrator, a grant writer. You know, I mean, it's a lot.
It's a whole lot. I really learned a lot of, like, practical things that I feel like I would be lost in a lot of ways had I stayed in school.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I have a lot of friends of mine who are graduating now from college, who just graduated last year. and are totally lost. They're mm-hmm. out in the world and they're flapping like fish. You know, they don't know really what
world,
they're gonna do.
The
like,
world isn't offering very
it's
much.
Not.
To
it's not. Right. It's
college
right.
College graduates right now, is it?
It's not. It's and it's a really big challenge that we as a generation are facing.
Yes, it is.
And in a lot of ways, people are choosing to create their own things. I think somehow or another, the great spirit, the universe knew that I was going to need to be ready, and provided me with the tools, the things in my world in order to like be able to foster, create something that was going to be sustainable for me. And I'm lucky. I meet people who are older than me all the time who are like, wow, you're doing all this and you're only like 24. And I just am really like fortunate that I found my passion, the thing that I'm passionate about early. Because I'm realizing that people don't do that. That doesn't happen.
No.
But I love poetry. I love words. I love performance.
But you've also found a way to not just love poetry, but to reach out to kids, to bring your love of poetry and bring it to other people, mm-hmm. and also then to make this, it sounds like a life's work.
Yeah.
That at least the journey that you're on right now, which is following in Michael Irwin's path of being a teacher.
Yeah.
Being a teacher.
And then also being able to like incorporate those issues of like social justice and use our words to like really, really change the environment around us. I've seen so many things change because and I get tired of the poem that I'm gonna that I'll probably end up doing sometime this evening. But I've been able to see how much that changes the world around me.
And is the poem we're talking about the poem about Chapel Hill?
It is.
We wanted you to do that Sunday too, which I'll talk about a little bit when we take our station break about our big 75th. Well, why don't we take a poetry break? We've been talking, and I hope people listening to this story are as inspired as I am for a young person to do all that CJ is doing. The poem that I first heard him speak in St. Joseph's Church a few years ago about our town of Chapel Hill. CJ?
Great. This poem was birthed out of a lot of different experiences growing up here, being from Chapel Hill. Being a writer and having a platform to write, I had to write something about it. So I hope you all enjoy. I live in a wonderful little college town where true feelings are glossed over with PC wax like the floors in hospitals. And the impossibles are made to seem possible. Between the hellos and how you're doings, I feel the hatred brewing. As she clutches her purse a little tighter, telling herself, I'm no racist, I have black guy friends. It's just the ones I don't know I'm scared of. As if black men were pit bulls without leashes, the plight of a black man in a white town where he's only good if he's affluent or submissive, speaks proper English, and his clothes fit proper black man. Working a job with a dress code, no tattoos, well-groomed, is a student and or has a degree of some sort in this lovely little college town. Where armchair progressives are a dime a dozen, and social consciousness is a verbal state of mind that really only lies in revolutionary cotton tees, dreads, and blowing trees. Che is great, and we love and try our best to emulate Bob Marley and Gandhi, Chapel Hill. Where the predominantly black and Latino parts of the city have been reduced to a quarter of the size they used to be, and don't move far away as not to tarnish the image of the university. A university that has erected a 20-foot-tall monument representing a Confederate soldier in the Civil War, Silent Sam, and less than 100 yards away is a slave monument that's a table. A table that has these 2-foot-high slaves holding it up. The last time I walked past, there was a lovely family enjoying lunch. I say, what reverence we show, still making them be the foundation for the nourishment of this nation. Still no bill for reparations. And me in this hospital, I'm a struggling doctor. I need patients. Because it seems like this hospital's really an asylum. Well, the upper conscious class thinks that the victims of a lower class society and the rich lend hands to their rich artistic friends and stand over the impoverished, scratching at the insides of coffins with the lumber that built this town under their fingernails. Chapel Thrill. Where students swarm in to swap the culture they were raised on in exchange for frats and sorors, kimchi for keg stands, tamales for top of the hill, curry for curriculum, and until recently in March, until Eve Carson in March, basketball games and rivalries have been more important than murder rates. I live in a wonderful little college town where true feelings are glossed over with PC wax like the floors in asylums. Welcome to the neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's hard to even speak right after a poem like that. And the bit of truth in that poem, you know, yeah. Just hit your heart. Once I'm speechless. CJ, yeah. You are such a marvelous poet. I want to ask you, you talked about hip-hop. I have a grandson who did a lot of political hip-hop.
Oh, great,
and
great.
Really clever, clever words. And so I have maybe a more positive view of hip-hop than maybe some unenlightened.
So good. So good to hear. So good to know.
Some unenlightened folks. But maybe you could enlighten us a little. Maybe enlighten us a little bit more about what is the difference between hip hop and poetry, or just
right.
Tell us a little bit about
the relationship. I feel like poetry and hip hop have a love hate relationship going on. They go back and forth. They love each other and then they hate each other. They love each other and they hate each other. But for me, the fact of the matter is, in studying both art forms. You know, to the best of my ability, I can't say. I mean, now they have hip hop classes and people can go to school and learn hip hop. But, you know,
really?
On my own, like, you know, I was studying hip hop. They're squares and rectangles. It's squares and rectangles. So they understand it like, you know, all rectangles are squares, but not all squares are rectangles. So all poetry is hip hop. All hip hop is poetry,
okay.
But not all poetry is hip hop.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Just it being the rhyme, the art, the stanzas, the tools used for it to come across make it inherently poetic and inherently poetry. But poetry isn't always hip hop. We experience poetry in different levels, mm-hmm. from like Jack Kerouac to Robert Frost. Like, these are two very different people, mm-hmm. Expressing it very differently. And then we come up, and then you have an artist like Mos Def and Talib Kweli who drop some really like deep, deep knowledge. But then we look at, you know, the current modern day poets, people from up north like Roger Bonnegard, all the way down to New Orleans, a woman by the name of Sunny Patterson. And then, but people have like, you know, the hip hop is there, the hip hop influence is there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's seen more of like a hip hop influence when actually like the poetic is the poetry is the matriarch of it all, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then hip hop is a subset of it. I was working on a piece for a long time. It was a multiple person piece. And I think one of the people moved away and we were trying to get it together about this this relationship between love, between hip hop and poetry and sort of like a prodigal son type relationship. Because hip hop, I think they get into this like glorification of the things that that are really vices for the people, for their audiences. They glorify the vices, which is nothing wrong with vices. Kweli even says that, I don't know if I can trust you if you don't got vices, which is a very real statement. We all got vices, but if they are damaging things, then we shouldn't, I don't know if we should be glorifying those things.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens a lot in hip hop, but hip hop was so totally started just like poetry is now. What hip hop used to be is what poetry is now. People are expressing issues with social justice.
Mm-hmm.
When hip hop first came out, you had cats like EPMD, you had people like Public Enemy, you had people who were like, you know what I'm saying, fight the power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the system is like, you know, is we struggling against the system. This is the issue. Like, mm-hmm. people were talking about, like, what the government's doing in their hip hop. I don't think I hear one mainstream song that mentions anything other than, like, Obama. Mm-hmm. And then if it mentions Obama, it's because he's a black president, not because of any administrative things that he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's I struggle with hip hop because I also like music. I'm a fan of music. Mm-hmm. So the music sounds good. If you put together a good song, putting together a good song is sometimes simply that, like putting together a good song. We go to the clubs, we dance with our friends, and sometimes we don't need to hear like a heavy song that's going to make us sad or make us think about issues. We just want to feel good and dance and have a good time. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing wrong with doing that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes we do that a lot. I think this has been my mantra lately, that people think of recreation as like playing a sport or going out on the weekend and, like, you know, playing frisbee golf or, like, you know, playing intramural sport. But recreation is really recreating, you know.
Yeah.
And so in a lot of ways, like, we're at a point where we're recreating a lot. We need more tools to create. So mm-hmm. we just end up like recreating the same things over and over again. So people are at this point of like intense recreation when we have to go back to creation and we have to get the tools to create more. And mm-hmm. I think hip hop's at that point where we've just been recreating too long.
Yeah.
And it's time to do some creation.
Yeah. So we're going to do a station break, and
great.
You can rest your voice a little bit. And I just want to let our listeners know that this is Wilp's Wednesday afternoon show, all the news that you need to know that you're not going to get on the regular media or very rarely. We are very happy to be underwritten by the Internationalist Bookstore at 405 West Franklin Street.
Love those folks.
Yeah. They have the kind of books you're not going to find, I don't think. In the big box mm-hmm. bookstores. Books on politics from a progressive point of view. And poetry. They have poetry. They have culture, mm-hmm. and you can go over there. It's a little store, but it's also a community resource center. You mm-hmm. can go in there and get great bumper stickers. You can find out what's happening around town. What maybe where CJ is going to be mm-hmm. at the Flyleaf Bookstore, where Wilf is having a meeting, or somebody's having an environmental meeting. There's all kinds of wonderful people trying to make this a better world. So go to the Internationalist Bookstore and improve your mind, delight yourself, and find out what's going on. And you can also go to internationalistbooks.org. If you're having trouble with, this is a low power station, and if you're having trouble right now with static or anything, you can, if you have a computer, which many of our listeners do, you can stream us live at WCOMFM.org. WCOM is a low power, all volunteer run station, and we're very proud to be part of it. And again, we're the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And you can find out more about us at trianglewilp.org. And when you write WILP, don't forget the P for peace, because it's hard to hear it when you pronounce it W-Y-L-P-F. And the thing that we wanted to make sure, this is the last show before our big celebration that we've been talking about for a few months. This is our 75th birthday in Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Started in 1935, before many of you were born, by Charlotte Adams, who was an intrepid woman and joined with other women to try, even here in the Deep South, to bring some ideas of harmony, racial justice, mm-hmm. peace. These are the women who are, we are the women who are, and men, I'm looking at Dick Paddock, our engineer, who are out by the post office vigiling very often. And during the Vietnam War, I think they were the longest ongoing vigil for I think it was for 5 years.
I think it was 9 years.
You think it was 9 years? Whatever it was many years. The longest in the country of an ongoing anti-war vigil. I'm Lori Hoyt, your host, and my co-host is Dick Paddock, a dear friend. So come, if you can, to the community church. CJ's going to be there reading some poetry.
I will.
You will. The Raging Grannies are going to be there, of which I'm a part. We're going to be there with our flowered hats and singing a song for peace. And so we're going to have music, we're going to have poetry, we're going to have a video that we're having made that we can get a smaller version to put on. Is it YouTube, Dick? Is that where they put these things? Anyhow, it's a video that's going to be sort of a cameo of who we are and what we're trying to do to make this a better world. And we're also delighted that our two national co-presidents will be the keynote speakers, and they're going to be here. And let's not forget this. We're going to have good food. It's going to be an international buffet with food from our favorite places, Mediterranean Deli, Vimla's Curry Blossom Cafe, and Flying Burrito, all three of which have been supportive of our work and care about peace and justice and are, at least with two of them, are activists themselves. And so it's going to be good food. Good food, good music, good poetry. And we'd like to know if you're coming, if you could, but don't let that stop you. Show up if you can't. But if you could, just so we make sure we have plenty of food, call me, Lori, at 968-1888. 968-1888. Okay, Dick, am I forgetting anything?
6 o'clock. I think you did not mention the time.
Oh, my gosh. Community Church, Purefoy Road, 5:30.
5:30
to 8:30.
Okay.
Yes, this Sunday, December 5th, time, place, where, what, why. I think we got it, 75th. We're celebrating all this year, trying to do more good work.
Yes.
And this radio show is part of our work, and we're soon to be on the People's Channel. We're very excited and to be on TV so we can let more people know about what we're doing. And now I want to get back to, Dick?
I'd like to do a little promo for WCOM.
Good.
Visit the WCOM website and explore the program schedule, donate to the station, become an underwriter, or access the 24/7 streaming programming available anywhere in the world via the internet. WCOM has over 60 live and locally produced programs to listen to at 103.5 FM in our 100-watt signal range or anywhere over the internet. You can also find podcasts of shows you may have missed. Please visit wcomfm.org, check it out, and consider supporting this station with your donation. To donate, click the Donate Now button, or you can mail a donation to WCOM, 208 East Main Street, Carrboro, North Carolina, 27510.
Hear, hear. We're going to give it up for WCOM. This is, again, like what we do and what CJ does. This is passion work. This is a labor of love.
Yes.
To try to have a low-power station and give the community a chance to have a voice.
That's so true.
So there's all kinds of wonderful voices that come on this station, including ours. And now back to CJ. CJ, where have we left off? I've gotten myself distracted here.
I can't remember exactly where we were. I felt like we were talking about hip-hop and poetry.
Where shall we go from here, then?
Another poetry break?
Sure, we can take another poetry break. So I guess this piece is about, this is really about, we've been talking a lot about passion work today. We've been talking a lot about following passions. Mm-hmm. And this is a poem that I do. I wrote it for my, it was the first poem I had ever written entirely for me, without like considering like an audience's response or how an audience would like take it, how an audience would interpret it. And so there are some obscure parts in it, more poetic, some might say. So this poem especially I wrote about because I got a lot of questions during this past 3-4 years. It's been difficult to like not be in school as a young black male trying to do something on your own. Tons of criticism and people. There's been a lot of support as well, but there's also been a lot of criticism and a lot of people just like, what, you're not in school? Do you know, like, you're young and black and, like, you, why are you not, you know? It was just a lot of cynicism on people's part. And so I wrote this poem kind of sort of in response to that, but also for my students. I wrote this poem for the students, for the kids, because it's important that no matter what people tell you, if you have a passion, if you have a dream, you have a goal, go for it 200%. Yeah, so I wrote this poem, and I always dedicate it to them when they're in the room. I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah.
Life knows me too well. From the minute I burst from her shell, I just yell. My first memory consists of a last kiss and a death wish, a fading photograph and a cracked concrete epitaph that reads, "When my outer is ugly, it's my heart that laughs last." Patiently waiting with pen and grasp, I clutch the last bits of liquid sanity, ink, and pen a permanent self-fulfilling prophecy like laugh now, cry later, but I really wrote in reverse. Cry now, laugh later, because when I am old, my feeble soul may need the medicine of laughter. When it's mind over matter of fact, and I am more than just a bad joke played on a 1986 record. And my pen glides like a bald eagle with Parkinson's. It gets a little difficult to write in the silver lining, and my art is a kite string of a dream crash landing face down in a stream of consciousness, rescued by a pen and pad, revived by a poet. The poems, my patient, imagine diving headfirst into an ocean of oration, a synapse of gray matter in my first memory. I am a poet, full of all the issues and baggage in the world, like a shopping mall, a suitcase tongue, and my laundry under the spotlight so I can dress clean in the audience. Pack light to keep my skeletons clothed, to make sure metaphors and similes fit overhead, not go overhead. Each morning I wake up sober or dead. Every day's a rebirth. We must die in order to appreciate living fall, in order to develop the balance to stand. My hands are cracked with carpal tunnels, road mapping the universe. This is the truest verse I ever wrote. Me taking notice of my notes written in the margins of high school papers, playing as the soundtrack to college lectures. This world has taught me I would be forever lost if off the college course. Diallo taught me that upon giving in, they will one day dance on my conformist corpse. So I dance to the soundtrack, bound back in decibels of defiance, resounding loud as rolling seas or 623 on a Tuesday morning. Born black skin so heavy with history, mama says my cry sounded more like a freedom song, a black power poem sprinkled with innocence. Said a month before I was kicking prenatal nursery rhymes in the workshop of her womb. Water broke like Franklin County Creek water, baptism on an uncomfortable swimmer. I said water broke like Franklin County Creek water, baptism on an uncomfortable swimmer. When she held me for the first time, my back cracked like the spine of a book. She carried me for 9 months before she was able to see sections. She never knew she'd bleed so much from a paper cut. Every day's a rebirth. This poem has chosen me. These poems are choosing me. They are strumming my vocal cords in Santana sonnets, a black magic mantra, soundtrack to my life. The quarters of the classroom took a cacophonous for the rhythm of soul to paper cadence. So I pumped up the volume on my voice, then marched military meter against the mainstream. Good intent artillery fought stigma with stanza. My first memory consists of a last kiss to the ivory tower, and a death wish in the hopes of being reborn with a true appreciation for my gift in spite of the rumors of a fading photograph future. And I am standing at the cracked concrete epitaph of a capitalist scheme that teaches me to think outside in but a pen, taught me what it really means to be free. I chose my weapon as wisely as it chose me. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Wow. It just hits your emotions so strongly. It's hard to talk about it. It's like, you know, out sometimes out of a movie that has been really moving, and you're with somebody and they start talking about it, and you're still sort of caught up in it still, you know, and it's still your emotions. You just can't switch to an analysis and Well, I know that on the 75th, we want you to do the Chapel Hill poem, but we also want another one. I don't know what one you're going to pick, and I know that'd be later in the program, and we didn't know whether you wanted to bring somebody you or you. I guess Lucy's talked to you about. So
yeah, we may bring some of our youth poets, a youth poet as well.
That would be wonderful. Accompany
me. Their schedules are all over the place.
Well, because you're a youth poet.
Yeah.
Being a mentor, you maybe feel like you're older than you are.
It's nice. I really think that's one of the strengths of us, and it's one of the strengths we've been saying from day one, and that's the strength that we have that a lot of youth organizations don't have, is that a lot of us, our artistic director is the oldest person in Sacrificial Poets in the organization, and he's 25 years old.
You're 24?
I'm 24. I just turned 24, and I think he's about to turn 25 on December 5th, this Saturday. Happy birthday, Kay.
Happy birthday.
and we're also celebrating that tonight. If you find yourself free from 6:30 to 8:30 tonight at Flyleaf Books, we host the open mic called Touchstones at Flyleaf Books. Flyleaf Books is on Airport Road, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Is the new name. I've been here all my life. It's hard. I'm still adjusting. and so if you, that starts at 6:30, from 6:30 to 8:30. And he'll be the feature. Kane is the feature. And we always have a musical guest. The musical guest is local hip hop artist, Apollo. Apollo is an amazing hip hop artist that was signed to Vinyl Records, which is UNC's first campus record label. Their first year, he was the first artist signed to the label, and so we have him there to perform tonight with Kane, and Kane will be our poetic feature tonight.
So all you listeners, you want something wonderful to do tonight, go to Flyleaf Books and hear poetry and music. What more can you wish for to delight your soul? Now, you go to Flyleaf Books. When will the next time be that you're there twice a month, aren't you?
So we used to do it twice a month. We've switched to do it once a month. We may switch back to doing it twice a month because doing it once a month, we've had standing room only. The reason why we went to once a month is because we were having attendance issues. But now it's like, there's not enough room, and everybody comes on the Wednesday. So it's the first Wednesday of every month.
First Wednesday of every month.
Okay. So I don't know right offhand what the date is in January.
Okay.
But we'll find it before the show's over and announce that again.
Yeah, definitely. We can look that up. so CJ...
Yes.
You mentioned about starting out with love poetry, and this is kind of an aside, but I was thinking of one of our activist friends, Robert, who went to New Orleans, and he's making a living, believe this or not, by writing. It's going about 10 or 11 o'clock at night and being outside. You know, that New Orleans is a party town, being outside the bars and setting up a little table. And so people want to go and impress a girl. He writes love poetry.
Oh, wow.
And of course, he says, as the evening goes on and people have a few drinks, he gets paid more and more. So
I'm going to try that one.
I don't know if people are as generous or if we have so many bars like close together here. But he said, how are you surviving to take care of yourself there. He said, I'm writing love poetry. And I looked at him and it's like, yeah, you're going to make money by writing poetry. And then he told me how he does it. And, you know, so sometimes it's 25 a night, but sometimes it's 60, 75 a night. Yeah. You know, some people get out so I just let this, I just had to get that in.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We might want to do it here. I wish they give a liquor license to the table. We'd have it all there in one spot. A one-stop shop, poem and spirits.
So you haven't mentioned, you mentioned growing up here in Chapel Hill. I don't know if you want to talk anything about, you mentioned you could driving with your father about growing up influences.
Chapel Hill has been amazing. It's been an amazing place to grow up in. I think it's progressive enough so you experience what is possible in the world. You get to have an open mind in a lot of ways to what is possible, but also it's still the South, and you get to experience a lot of the social justice issues that remind you that we ain't there yet. We ain't quite made it. It's still work to do. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's been like the really beneficial thing in growing up here. Me and Will, who's another poet, he's actually a treasurer and assistant artistic director for Sacrificial Poets, are working on a book project now called, he grew up here as well, called Chapel Hill in Black and White.
Ooh.
That should be coming out within the next 6 months. A really, really amazing book project where we do a couple memoirs. I do a memoir of my experience growing up as a Black male. He does a memoir about him growing up here as a white male. And then we have a poem together. We have several poems that we're going to be putting in just from our own personal experiences. And we've written poems together that we're also going to put in there. It may even come with an album because most of those poems are recorded as well. So we may do book album together. That's still in deliberation, but we're excited about it.
So will you be self-publishing?
I think we will probably be self-publishing or either going through a website like Lulu or...
Well, when you get closer to when it's more definite, we want to have you back on. We want to support... And also just let people know what a treasure that they're going to be, can look forward to. So boy, on top of everything else, so you're doing a book. Oh, CJ.
Yeah. So, and it's something people kind of been asking for. I'm answering the call in a lot of ways. People are like, and so I just released the album, which will be available next week at iBooks.
Oh, yes, let's get that in again.
Which I remembered.
Yeah, so I don't know, how do I say that? What is iBooks?
Internationalist Books.
Huh?
Internationalist Books.
Oh, iBooks is in it. And I was thinking of something on the internet. All right. Golly, I'm embarrassed. Okay, so at the Internationalist Bookstore.
Yeah, so at the Internationalist, it will be available
next week.
That you can go get your copy. I will also be releasing, if you would like to have like a hard copy like in hand.
Uh-huh.
If not, you can also go online.
That's where I get confused. So you see, okay.
Yeah, cjpassagesuit.bandcamp.com. I have a single up now called Sleep at Night, but the full album will be available tomorrow for free download until next week.
And so what is that again? What's the address that they download it from?
It's cjpassage, P-A-S-S-A-G-E, suit, S-U-I-T-T, .bandcamp.com.
.bandcamp?
Yeah, .bandcamp, .bandcamp.
.com. CJ Passage Suit.
Suit.
Suit. SUITT.
Uh-huh.
Bandcamp.com. So until.
B. Bandcamp.
Band.
Oh.
B-A-N-D. Band.
Okay. So not only that, the hearing's gone. that makes sense. I thought Van Camp was somebody doing it with you. Okay, Bandcamp.
At bandcamp.com.
.com. Okay.
Yeah. So
okay, we got that. So it's a good thing we spelled it all out because other people may not have got it right either.
So right now you can get the single from the mixtape.
So you can get it free to win?
You can get it free until next Thursday. It'll be free until next Thursday. It'll be out. The right now there's this single, Sleep at Night, which I did with an amazing artist named Jay Quill, who's a local singer, beautiful voice. And the full album will be out at 12 midnight tonight, and you'll be able to download the full album. But if you'd like to get a preview and listen to my favorite track, we call it a single. I'm not really putting out an album. I'm putting out a mixtape, so it's not really a single, but it's my favorite track off the album, called Sleep at Night with J. Quill.
What's the name of the album? I don't know if you mentioned that.
The album is called Knowledge and Understanding. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dick.
Knowledge and Understanding, a mixtape.
Wow.
This is beautiful. I really enjoy doing it. Music is, recorded music is something that's fairly new to me. But yeah, I think it's a project that is experimental. I want feedback. I think I say that on the album somewhere. But yeah, definitely it's experimental. And you all tell me if I should keep doing it.
Okay. What do you mean this is new to you?
So recording music, like doing music in a studio, is something that's new to me.
Okay.
I've been singing with church choirs and singing with groups, and I was a hype man for a hip hop band for a little while, but being in a studio recording a track, making full songs like just me all the way through, is something that's a new concept to me, and there are a lot of different like new dynamics to it, and I'm sort of getting the hang of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean it's not too difficult, but it's new territory.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that artists forget a lot of times is that you do have listeners. You have a responsibility, kind of like if you want people to listen to your music, like they should be giving you feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And they should be letting you know how well they like your music, and you shouldn't be upset if mm-hmm. it's not what you want to hear. So that's something like being a new artist, a new artist with a project that I'm really, really open to.
Well, CJ, it's been wonderful talking to you. And I liked you from the beginning and was inspired by you. But it's just really amazing to me all that you're doing at this young age. And that's just really wonderful, just wonderful. And we just love having you here. And just want to remind people that this is Wilps.
Afternoon radio show. It's no longer the wake up call. If you're not awake by now,
Why I stumble. We just recently, it feels recently, started this 1 hour show. We were on Friday mornings, and I'm so used to saying this is Wilps wake up call. You know, mm-hmm. we tried to wake up Chapel Hill and Carborough, and now we haven't really come up with a really good name yet, have we?
No, but yeah. Mention the celebration again.
Okay, just yet again, really this is quick. The last time we're going to be able to tell you. We'll probably come and tell you how wonderful it was afterwards, but mm-hmm. this is going to be our 75th birthday, WILP, the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom in the South. Now, I just want to mention, nationally, we're 95 years old. Nationally started in 1915,
wow.
The oldest ongoing peace and justice group in the country.
Nice.
The Fellowship for Reconciliation started that same year, but they had a couple of breaks,
mm-hmm.
and we kind of plowed through.
Beautiful.
And not too popular in the Second World War, trying to talk about peace. We were not very popular here at the beginning of the Iraq War.
Right.
Got a lot of hostility, even in this very mm-hmm. nice, right. liberal little town.
But yep. remember that it's... at the community church.
Yes, thank you.
On December 5th.
Yes, this Sunday.
From 5:30 to 8:30.
Yes.
And there will be food. There will be entertainment. There will be edification. There will be wonderful people to meet and talk with.
There'll be poetry. There'll be music.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And all the best people, all the most wonderful people you ever want to hang around are going to be there.
Exactly.
It's going to be okay. Cool.
This is WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carborough, taking you back to our regularly scheduled music.